guys, so like I said, at the beginning we're going to do introduction. Today we're going to do the first question that we're going to deal with is, a little bit, what is Agadah? And what is the balance one should have in his learning between Halakha and Agadah? Are Halakhic texts more valuable, less valuable, equivalent to Agadot? We're going to try to get a general introduction this week. Then we'll do a few weeks on how to learn Agadah. And we'll pack in as much as we can. I really would like to do introduction before Chagim. We'll see how that goes. Okay, so before we look at Mekarot, what do you know about Agadah? Or Agadata, or whatever they called it in where you went. Yes. Remind me names so that it'll keep going.
I'm Eitan. It's usually in the
game. Even if you think I know your name, which I may, but still, then people will be insulted who I do and do. No, no, yes, Eitan, go.
It's like in the Gemara, it's like a story that usually has a point in like the Shakla Vitaria that it's going to make.
What type of point?
Not like a lesson, but like maybe a moral.
Okay, so sometimes it is stories that have moral lessons. Good. Okay. Now that's an example, but not a definition, but that's fine. Good. Okay. Good. So Evan says more broadly, and that's probably going to capture a lot. It doesn't help that much to identify, but it's probably the best catch-all, which is it's the non-legal portions of the Gemara. That's actually probably the most accurate, right? Which is Agadah in general is defined as that which is the non-legal portion of Gemara. Now, sometimes, as Eitan notes, that is stories that have ethical lessons. What else? What? No, you don't remember. Okay. What else? What? Yeah, it can be medical advice, practical advice, old wives' tales, literally. Yeah.
Do scientific assertions count as Agadah?
Maybe, right? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Sometimes it can be scientific assertions, sometimes not, right? Meaning, in a halakhic context, I would be hard-pressed to call that Agadah, right? So... Right, so we spend a long time on that Gemara, but the Gemara in Psachim about whether the earth goes around the firmament, or the firmament goes around the earth, and the sun goes in, and does it go under, and all the weird things, and are the Greeks right, and are we right, and that's probably Agadah, right? Extensive scientific discussions that are anchored in halakhic issues, those are probably fairly characterized as Agadah. Where, on the other hand, the question of are you allowed to kill a louse on Shabbat, because the Gemara assumes spontaneous generation is clearly a scientific assertion, but a scientific assertion in service of a halakhic claim that has nothing to do with whether what we do with cases where Chazal's scientific assumptions were wrong, but it happens to be that text you cannot define as agadic. It's clearly halakhic, right? You can have agadic texts where their scientific assertions are right and halakhic ones where they're wrong, right? But what would make it agadah would be the non-halakhic component to it. But yes, a purely scientific discussion like that. Or the beginning of the seventh paragraph of Gittin that deals with just medical advice and things like that. That's Agadah. Now, you can have Agadah where Chazal were right on their science, and you can have ones where they're not right. When I was in YU, when we were learning Gittin my first year, someone asked Rav Schechter what you should do with those two. There's two full dapim in Gittin about medical advice, and he said, don't learn them. And they said, well, what if we want to make a siyum? He's like, don't learn them. It doesn't matter. They were wrong. So cut out this two plot and make a siyum and an eight plot. Like, who cares, right? So this has nothing to do with right, wrong, right? You can have kids that are right, wrong. What makes it agadic is non-halachic. Yeah. Or are you stretching? Good. That's what we're going to try to figure out. So, well, first I'll get more examples and I'll come back to your question. Yeah. Okay, again, names. Remind me names. Names. Remind me names. Name. Ariel, yes.
So,
yeah, I would, usually, unless it has halakhic import, I would count it as Agadah. Again, Agadah is a bit of an amorphous term, and we'll see that, but I would count it as Agadah. Yeah, remind me. Judah, yes. So it can be a story that frames a halachic discussion, for sure, right? Now, things get a little bit messy when there are halachic stories that contribute to the halacha, like examples of someone fulfilling a mitzvah. That's usually not categorized as Agadah, that's called usually more formally Maaserav, right? Where you want to illustrate how we paskin, so you show that someone did it. That's a story, but it's a slightly different story. Sometimes the line is going to be difficult, but a story that leads into it, like us, you know, you're talking about Kibud Av Va'Em, and the Gemara says, what is the extent of Kibud Av Va'Em, and it brings the story of Dama ben Netina. That story is probably an agadic framing to a halachic text.
Also, if Adam aren't connected to Apollo, then did they not have like a Mishnah connected to the
Gemara,
like in the Gemara?
Not necessarily. Usually not, right? Usually the agadic stories in the Gemara are not anchored directly in the Mishnah, but I'm trying to think if I can think of a counterexample. Yeah, it's usually the case, right? Most Mishnayot are more halachic, mostly. Yeah, Feinerman. Thank you.
Can you give an example? I don't understand what you mean by like a non-legal Gemara.
A non-legal Gemara. The Gemara has a machloket. Take Benjamin's example. How does the sun go around the earth? Does the earth go around the sun? What does it have to do with halacha? It's just non.
Right?
Yeah, that's what I said. The most general explanation is non-legal. No, like it's just not. No, not like not like just simply non-legal, not illegal, right? Like non-legal, right? Like, what are you having for breakfast, right? That's not a legal question, not because it's illegal, it's just a non-legal question. Yes, yeah, no, not illegal. Illegal would be halachic, right? Or halachic text that's illegal, right? That would be, or someone did that and we killed him, right? I mean, that would be legal, yeah. Name. Good. That's what we're going to try to figure out. What's the point? Okay, good. I'll let Avi go, and then I'll ask you what you think your point is. Yeah, go, Avi.
Is there a practical difference between Agadata and Halakha?
Oh, that's a good question. So that's what we're going to see today, right? Which is, so Avi's question, is there a difference practically in terms of learning? Eli's question, which is, well, then why learn it? Okay. So let me ask you. Is Agadata something worth learning? Is it something worth arguing about? What do you think? Well, good. Well, what is that going to hang on? Yeah, and also, what type of Agadata are you talking about? Meaning it's non-halachic. What can go on non-halachic? It could be scientific advice. It could be metaphysical claims about God. Right? That's also non-halachic. Right? That's pretty important. Right? Right? It could be Tamei Mitzvah. It could be aphorisms. Right? One-line aphorisms. It could be jokes. Right? Did you not join us for it? You weren't in Agadah at all last year. So you missed. Jokes. Yes, there are jokes all over the Gemara. They're wonderful. We did that last year. It was so much fun. I love doing it. What? And Gemara jokes are not even... Sometimes they're funny. Sometimes they're not. But sometimes they're even funny. You know? Some of them are puns. Right. What? Yeah. The jokes are great. I mean, look, there's v'chichol de nevi. That's a pun, right? But there's your mama jokes in the Gemara. It's like whatever. Literally, like actually, that's what it says. What? Why? I don't know. The Gemara. What? Yes. Yes. The Gemara in Yevamot. Would you like me to read it? Because you won't believe it. Then I'll go on. Oh, God. Okay, I'll open it for you. Sheesh.
You don't know it by heart?
I do. Trust me, I know this one by heart. But because you will challenge me, I will read it. Right? Anyways, so the Gemara in Yevamot Samach Gimel has the following. Mikri le Rav Yehuda le Rav Yitzchak Brei. Rav Yehuda said to his son, Rav Yitzchak, would you like to be my son? Actually, I don't want to say this about my wife, so we're not going to do that. Someone else can do it, okay? He says as follows, Umotze ani mar mi mavet et ha'ishai. Quotes the Pasuk in Kohelet, Perek Zayin, which is, I find women to be more bitter than death. Amar lei, now this is his son saying to his father, Amar lei kigon man, like who? Kigon imcha, right? Like your mother, right? What? But then he says, "But Hamadni le Rav Yehuda Rav Yitzchak Brei ain adam motzekar rachel mishter rishonah." But he says, "Wait a second! He also told his son that a person is only happy from his first wife." Shnei Mari he mekarcha baruch v'usmach meishen yerecha v'amar lein. He said to him, "Kigon man, who is the woman that makes you happy? And he said again, Kigon Imcha. Right? This goes on. And then the Gemara, so the Gemara has a stira. Oh, was his wife mean? Was she not mean? And the Gemara answers, oh, Mitkav Kifa Vavure Mibraba Mila. She was tough, but easily placated. Ah, okay. Placated. Like, can calm down. Anyways. Yes, the Gemara has weird things, and I don't know what you want from it. What? It even has. Look, we did it. We went through all these jokes last year. We did slapstick. Slapstick is so much fun. There's, you know, there's Chazal slapstick.
Yeah.
The Gemara in Bin Bava Kama Lamed Zayin has a case where someone punches someone in the face, right? He's chayev half azuz, so he tries to pay him with a not great whole zoos and get change. The guy doesn't want to give him change, so he punches him in the other jaw. Right? He gives him all right. This is very classic slapstick, right? The Gemara is an interesting place. Yeah. Anyways, 2,711 davim of interesting things. Yeah. Up to about, depending on how you define Agadah, something like 1/7 of all of Shas is non-halachic, at least. So, no. But, yeah, I don't know exactly how you judge it, because it depends what you count. Rosh Hashanah like throwing around the number a seventh. I'm not sure. I'm not going to challenge Rosh Hashanah's knowledge of Shas. It's very good. But it's going to come down to definitions, right? Meaning, are you talking about Dapim? Are you talking about words? Or what are you counting as Agadah? Okay, it's a lot. It's a lot, right? Certain Masechtot, like 50% Agadah, like Sota, and certain Gemara, like Zvachim, have very little. It's quite a challenge. What? And of course, there's the non-halachic midrashim as well, which are all agadic. Breishit, right? Breishit Rabbah, which is, right? Why do you think Agadah is not part of that? Oh, welcome to Agadah. Yeah. What's wrong with jokes? Halachah Moshe Mesina, yeah. It was a joke. I don't know. I mean, you're right. The Gemara. I don't know how it was said. What tone it was said. If it was a joke and he knew it wasn't serious. I don't know. I don't know. Sometimes I do wish I could imagine. Like I could be there to hear the tone of voice that they were saying in it. Well, if everyone understands it's a joke. And no one's feelings are hurt, then no, it's not Lashon Hara. First of all, it wouldn't be Lashon Hara. It would be Onat Dvarim, because they said, right? Which would be different, anyways. But Onat Dvarim. Verbal abuse. That, not for now. But just suffice it to say that the sugyot of Lashon Hara are in Erchin, Daf Ted Vavanon, and the sugyot of Onat Dvarim are in Bava Metzia and Nunchet. Like, not. They're different sugyot. They are related, but yes, you learned something. What? I don't know whether he was serious. It makes it funnier by the fact that he started asking kashas on it. I don't know. I don't know. It's a nerdy joke. I don't know. I don't know what banter goes on in their house. I don't know. I wasn't there. Okay, guys. So to get this started, and I know Avi looks at this, he's like, whoa, what are you doing? You're so nice. It's like, yeah, I'm nice for like a day. Yeah. But I put English on for like the first day, and then slowly but surely English disappears. Whoa. Shocking, but slowly. Quickly, English disappears. It's like when I first gave this year, I translated, and then done. Okay, yeah, no, I'm not that nice. So... The Gemara in Bava Kama Daf Samach says as follows, okay? I want you to try to figure out from this how we value Agadah and figure out maybe what Agadah is. So, Yotiv Ravimi Ravasi Kamed Rav Yitzchak Nafcha. Ravami Ravasi were before Yitzchak Nafcha. Mar Amar Le, Lema Mar Shmaita. So, one of them said, listen, teach me some halacha. Umar Amar Le, Lema Mar Agadata. Right? So, you had two Talmidim there. And one says, I want to learn halacha. And the other one says, I want to learn. I got to tell me a fort. Patach lememar agadata velo shavik mar. So he started teaching agadata, and the one who wanted to learn halacha started saying, no, what a pitul toyre. You know, Patach mar lemeimar shmeita. So he said, fine. I'll teach halacha. V'lo shavik mar. I'm not up to it. I can't concentrate. He couldn't get anything. Amar lahem, he said, fine. Em shalachem mashal. Lama davar domeh. So now he says, I am going to give you a mashal for how you are treating me right now. Lama davar domeh. L'adam sheish lo shtei nashim. It's like a man who has two wives. Achat yalda, achat skena. One is old and one is young. Yalda milaketet lo levana. The young one looks at his hair, sees a few white hairs, you know, and says, oh, we're young. I can't have an old husband. Starts pulling out the white hairs. Zekena meleket meleket loshchorot. And the old one says, oh, I can't be married to the young guy. What are these black hairs? Starts pulling out the black hairs. Nimtza kirech mikan umikan. So he's double bald, right? Amar lehen. Okay, but you're not letting me go on. So let me say something that is gam halacha gam agarata. You'll both be happy. The pasuk in Shmot in Mishpatim says ki teitzei eish umatzah kotzim. If a fire, one who lights a fire and the fire goes out, right, the fire breaks out and catches the thorns. Right? This is classic nizik and tort law. Teitzei me'atzma shalem yishalem hamavir et ha-be'era. This teaches you that even if it breaks out by itself, you are still liable to pay. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu alai l'shalem et ha-be'ira sh'ivarti. Ani hitzit eish b'tzion, sh'nemar v'etzit eish b'tzion, v'tochal yisodotav, v'ani yatzit l'vnotav v'eish, sh'nemar v'ani ehel l'chomad eish, saviv l'chod eyek b'tochal. And God says, aha, from here I learn that I'm chayev because I let the Beit HaMikdash be burned. So I am chayev to pay you back, so I'll rebuild it. So I'll tell you something that is gam halacha and gam agadata. Okay, do we learn from this anything about what agada is? No, I have no clue what agada is. Okay, but what is the relationship between halacha and agada that is implied here? Good, they're opposites. Is one greater than the other? They hate each other. Do we have any indication whether one's greater than the other? Yeah, we have no idea, right? They sound like equal opposite disciplines, right? So if you look at number two, and Dr. Moshe Shoshani says in this story, halacha and agada are portrayed as two warring wives of the same man. Each one seeks to remake the man in their own opposing images. The young wife seeks to make the man look young by removing his white hairs, while the old wife seeks to make the man look old by removing his black hairs. In the end, the man is left with no hair at all. Halacha and Agada in this story are presented as two equal and opposing forces. Agada is apparently associated with the vigor of youth. Right, so now the second point is, okay, first, they're equal and opposite, but the only indication we have in this story, this Agada, about which is better or what the quality of it is the age. Right, is that Agada is identified with youth, while Halacha is linked with the sagacity of old age. Why would that be? So one possibility is you could say, well, maybe, I don't know, halacha is more important, it requires more age. Or you just say, as he says, perhaps it's because halacha is viewed as creative and even daring. Halacha is seen as intellectually rigorous and conservative in nature, right? It could be more about conservatism versus creativity. It could be about intellectual rigor. Halacha and agada each vie for the student's attention, appealing to different aspects of his personality. If this conflict remains unresolved, the student runs the risk of becoming intellectually and spiritually paralyzed, mastering neither discipline. The story also offers a resolution to this conflict in the form of its brief sermon, right? So first it shows halacha and agada are equal and opposite. Right? Then it indicates, well, that one's young, one's old. We don't know if that shows that one's better than the other or they have different natures. But it also implies a solution. What's the solution? Well, that they're not as different as you think, right? Meaning the mashal he gives them is implies that they're equal but opposite. But then, after saying that they're equal and opposite, what does he immediately go on to do? He says a single drasha that has halachic and agadic implications, which implies that they are not as distinct. The story also offers a resolution to this conflict in the form of Yitzchak's brief sermon. This is not the place to explicate the technical intricacies of Rav Yitzchak's teaching. For our purposes, Rav Yitzchak makes it clear that the conflict between halacha and agada is not inevitable or desirable, and that it is possible to give each its due. This is true because just as both Rav Yitzchak halacha and agadic teachings emerge from the same biblical verse, so too all halacha and agada spring from the same divine source. See? Okay. So, in this halacha, in this source, it is presented as equal, opposite, maybe some hints that differences, not clear, and then the Gemara seems to conclude that they're not as opposite as you think. Yeah? Next Gemara. Gemara in Sota Daf Mem. Also in Agadata about Agadata. Okay? Rabbi Abba and Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba Iklu Lo Atra. Rabbi Abba and Rabbi Chiya traveled to the same place. Okay? Avi, want to come with me on a trip?
Yeah.
Good, great. So Avi and I go on a trip. You want to be the Halacha teacher or the Agada teacher?
Agada
teacher. Great. Rabbi Abba Darash Be Agadata. Rabbi Abba or Avi is giving an Agadata shir. Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba Darash Be Shmaita. And Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, in this case me, was teaching a halacha shir. Shavkua kule ama l'rbchia bar abba v'azul gavedi rabbi avo. So everybody left the halacha shir and everyone went to the agadat shir. Avi's shir is packed. Chalash daite. So Rbchia, who's teaching halacha, was depressed. So now Avi, in his infinite wisdom, gives an agadata, uses an agadata to make Rbchia feel better. Okay? Amar lei emzel chal mashal. He says, "Let me give you a mashal." Lema damar dome. L'shnei v'nei adam echad mocher avanim tovot, echad mocher minei sidkit. There are two people. One is selling precious gems, and the other is selling small nothing. Right? Al mi kofset. Who has more buyers? Who has more buyers? The one who's selling the $1 million blue diamond, or the one who's selling? What? The what? No, whatever the, you know, a dollar, whatever. What? Sure. The dollar. Why? Because more people can afford it, right? Most people, not many people can appreciate the gem, can afford the gem. So what's he saying? Listen, people want to learn Agadata, but that's because it's cheap. It's nothing, not valuable, but people like it. They're not going to... People can't go out to eat every day at the 3 Michelin star restaurant. They can't, but they can eat a bag of chips all the time. That doesn't mean it's better food. That doesn't mean it's better for you, right? The you know, the 3 Michelin star chef is still a better chef than the person who is I don't know, who's frying the French fries at McDonald's. Okay, it doesn't whatever, right? It brings in a lot of money. It proves nothing. Kol yomav ma'aver b'chia bar abba l'riyavo ad ushbizeh mishum yikra d'bekeser al yomav alveh r'biyavo l'riyavo bar abba ad ushbizeh b'vilachir lo atitiv da'ite mine. And every day, r'biyavo, r'biyavo used to escort r'biyavo, right, as a sign of honor to show that he was, right, he was part of the, right, the royal family. And this day, Rabbi Avo tried to make him feel better and take, you know, he escorted him to his house. It didn't work. Okay, he was still insulted. In this Gemara, what's the implication? Which is more important?
Halacha.
Hands down. Halacha. Agadata is the cheap thing that the masses like, but is... Yeah, it's easy. It's not so valuable. Right now, is the Gemara being serious or is he trying to make him feel better? I don't know. But at least in his Mashal... Agadata is less valuable. What's the only catch in this? There's two reasons to not take that Gemara so seriously. One is he's trying to... Well, one is he's trying to make him feel better, right? So how honest is he being? The second point is, how is he making him feel better? He's a new good at using an Agadata, yeah. So it's not like you don't walk around this Gemara and say, oh, Agadata is useless, but then again, it didn't work, so... Number four, the Sifrei. Right, the Midrashic Halacha on Bamidbar and Dvarim says the following: Dorshei Rishumot Omrim. The expounders of metaphor would say as follows: Ritzoncha Shetakir Misha Amar V'Haya Olam. You want to know God? Important. Lemod Hagada. Learn Agadata. Shemitoch Kach Atamakir Et Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Umedabek Berdachav. Because learning Agadata, you will come to know God and cling to His ways. If you do what you're supposed to do, I'll do what I'm supposed to do. Okay, where does Agada go in this two-line Tana'irik Midrash? Halachic Midrash, no less. Right. Agada does appear Everything else, right, if you ask me what is more important, right, which is knowing how many inches your hadassim have to be, or God, with all due respect to the hadassim, and I have a lot of respect for hadassim, but with all due respect, there's got to be the one contrarian, right, which is, no, I believe in God because it says so in Shulchan Aruch. Yeah. I mean, like, it doesn't really, but okay. But now we have three passages. One which implies that Agadata are more or less equal, warring, right? Maybe can be synthesized, right? And the Havamina are opposites, and the Maskana are two separate disciplines that can be synthesized, sort of equal. One that says that Agadata is the cheapest of the cheap, but we're not sure how serious it is, and Agadata is the solution. And then we have a Midrash Halacha in the Tanaim saying, if you want to know God, learn Agadata. So, and if you want another Midrash in that direction, look at 5. The Midrash and Midrash Rabbah says as follows, Rishim ben Yot Sadak, Shaul Rishmo Bar Nachman, because I heard that you are an Agada teacher, Mehechan Ora Yotza Leolam. I have a question for you. Where does light come from into the world? Amar lo, Nitatef HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kisimla, V'Hik Kol Olam Kulo Miziv Hadaro. Amar lo Belechisha. And God himself covers himself with light as a garment. This is a, yes, exactly. Now, I don't know exactly what that means. And he whispers him, but what does this imply? Like the previous Agadah, that he says you are an Agadist. Tell me something about light, and he says yes. Well, let me tell you something about God. Light is God's clothing. Yes. What? What does that mean? That's a good question, but I'm not going to try to answer that right now. There are so many fascinating explanations that. But the point is that you see in action this idea. So now I turn it back to you. And I say, okay, so is Agada more important, less important, equal than Halacha? What's the answer going to be? Okay, so how do you deal with the Gemara that implies that Agada is cheap?
The issue is that they're both
okay, good, right? So you could just push back and say, I mean, look, he's not being serious, and he uses Agadata to solve the problem. So in the end, maybe it really is that important, right? And you'll say, oh, if you want to know God, I mean, knowing God's important, but okay, maybe that doesn't mean that it's more important than Hadassah. Maybe Hadassah are, they're different disciplines. So one possible is to say, look, I understand there's an implication here, I understand there's an implication there. Okay, at the end of the day, they're different, and whatever. You know, they're different. Okay, well, I can accept it. I mean, you have to counter-read the Gemara, but again, they're not black and white. Why? Oh, that's a good question. Well, that's because the Sifrei says it. I know, and it's in a Tanaitic Midrash. Like, prior to the Gemara, it's in, right? Sifrei is contemporaneous with the Mishnah, and this is a Halachic Midrash. This is a Psak. Right, it's a phrase, a halachic midrash. Why? Well, okay, but so one possibility is to say they're different. Okay, so some, you know, and downplay this, right? Downplay the fact that one implies Agadah does more, one implies less. I mean, yeah, they balance each other out. And okay, so sometimes you balance one, sometimes you other. That's fine, that's possible. But there is an easier answer, which is, as we said, as Evan said before, what is Agadah? The simplest explanation of Agadah is all non-halachic texts, great. Now what? Are all non-halachic texts equal? No, because a discussion about God's nature, is that non-halachic?
Yeah.
Is a your mama joke halachic? No, right? Yesh bezehevdel, right? The other possibility is to recognize that some of Agadah is deep metaphysics. Right, it's about the nature of God. That's like super important. And some Agadah is jokes, right? Some is not serious. Some is just fake, right? It's fake, right? Right? You're looking at me fake. No, there's at least one case in the Gemara where the Gemara explicitly says that the guys were sleeping in Shear. So what did Rabbi Akiva do? He said, no, he said, why did Esther rule over 127 provinces? Because she was descended from Sarah, who lived 127 years, right? And the Gemara says, why did he say that? To wake them up, right? He said something outrageous, so they would say, what? Wait, what? And he's like, good, you're awake, let's move on, let's continue with Shir, right? You know, so that makes it into Agadata. You're going to tell me that Agadata, which simple reading the Gemara is it's not true. He said the most outrageous thing that came to mind, right? To wake them up. So and then, right, Agadata is everything from deep metaphysics to science, right, to medical advice, which may or may not be true, to jokes, right, to moral stories, right? So it could be that it depends. When you're dealing with deep metaphysics, so maybe that's, you know, higher than halakha. When you're dealing with morality, I don't know. Morality is another discipline, equal and, you know, a different language. When you're dealing with jokes and you're dealing with aphorisms and cute vartloch that are just meant to be nice, which as we'll see from Avraham Ben Arambam, where he says there are many things in the Gemara that are just cute, right, for the sake of being nechmad. Okay, so that's lower. It could just be that it depends. But that means that when you're looking at Agadah, you're not looking at a monolithic. Yeah, right? There are very important things, right? Yes, free will. Text about free will. The point is, Agadah incorporates a lot of things from the very profound to the less profound, right? What? To the non-profound. What? To the much less profound, okay?
There's still something there.
You know, yeah, I mean, but what that shows you, right, is that the non-halachic portions, they are A, varied in terms of what they are, and B, are wildly varied in terms of, right, the import of what they're teaching. But clearly, it's important because some of it is presented, at least at first glance, as above halachic text, and sometimes is equal and opposite, right, than halachic text. One of them, admittedly, talks about at least some types of agadah as being less, but it's still not valueless, right? I mean, sure, okay, scientific advice that's wrong may be valueless, but okay, not that much is like that. And when it was the best science of the day, it was not valueless, right? It wasn't halacha, but it was valuable, right? If I tell you now, please don't start smoking because it is bad for you, right? That is valuable. I'm not saying that as a rabbi, but it is valuable advice, right? So when Chazal were giving scientific advice, medical advice, it may be that they were wrong, and now you don't have to study. That doesn't mean it was valueless at the time, right? They were telling the best that they knew. Right, that's important. Again, right, wrong, and important are different. Right? I can tell you something that will save your life. Right, the import of what I'm saying is well, significant. Whether I'm right or wrong is different. I could get it very wrong. Right, but it's an important statement. It's a high it's a high stakes statement. Right. But what we note is at least in the one text that seems to imply the most that halacha and agadah are equal goes farther than that. It's not just that they're equal, but remember what happened in that Gemara. How did he resolve the two warring students, the agadist here and the halachist over here? What? Right, exactly. He synthesized them, which implies there's another part to this, which is there A are different parts to Agadah, but it's also a mistake to think of them as truly separate disciplines. And this is something that in general is important to remember, that the part of the reason that's so hard to define Agadah is because the Gemara does not separate between halacha and agadah, right? Which implies that at least for Chazal, or at least as it's presented in the Gemara, the distinction in halacha and agadah is not meant to be that rigid. This is a little bit less true in Midrashim, a little bit, but not 100%. Right? Midrashim, even early Midrashim, there is mostly a distinction between halakha and agadah, with Breishit Rabbah, for example, being an early halachic, agadic midrash, right? Even though, I guess, here and there, there are like halachic statements thrown in, and the Sifrei and the Sifra being halachic. But again, here and there, there are non-halachic lines. So in the midrashic literature, the distinction is made clearer. But in the Gemara, both Bavli and Yerushalmi, the distinction is often hard to make. Because the Gemara doesn't, right? You'll be in the middle of a halachic discussion, and then out of nowhere, right, you'll end up in... What? Yeah, like that's in the middle of a sugya about the chiyuv to get married and for revu. I mean, it's not the perek of your mama, right? It's the perek of for revu. What? Yeah, it's just in the middle of a discussion. What? That's the logical place to put it. So I gave you here just a very nice little introduction to Rabbi Avram Price's Imre Avram, Volume 1. These are his drashot. He was a leader of the Toronto community for a very, very long time. For those of you who don't know, I'm not from Toronto, but I spent 3 years in Toronto as the Sgan Rosh Kollel of the YU Torah Mitzvah Kollel. Rabbi Price was a Talmud of the Avni Nezer, born in 1900, died in 1994, I think. And he was in Toronto. You've probably heard of Rabbi Price, yeah. No? He was Rabbi Felder's father's Rebbe. He was like, he came in the 30s. Yeah, what's it called? The Beit Midrash at, Rabbi Breida, which is Yeshiva, what's it called? The other high school, not Or Chaim. What? No, high school, Darchei. Darchei's Beit Midrash is dedicated by the Rabbi Price Foundation. Anyways, so he wrote a lot of fascinating svarim, but one of them that he wrote is this two volumes of drashot, and here he has a nice treatment of this synthesis. To make things easier for you, I'll read the English. This is my translation. And he says as follows: homiletics have always been an important part of Torah literature. What?
That's
homiletics is darshanut, drashot, right? Drashot. And took an important place in the Jewish study hall, for the homiletic establishes the ethical storage house for the Torah. Halachot and the study of them focus on the commandments in the Torah, for their essence is only to instill morality in people, to improve and make their beliefs and actions better. As Chazal say, what does God care if one slaughters an animal and eats it, or stabs it and eats it? Does it help him or hurt him? Does he care if he eats kosher or not kosher? If you are wise, it is for you. The commandments were given to purify people. As it says, the sayings of God are pure. All God's sayings are pure, for what... it is, it protects you, right? So he says like this. The Chazal famously say, based on Pesukim, mitzvot don't help God, right? God doesn't change. So why are mitzvot given? For us. But he says, okay, well, if that's the case, then halacha tells you what to do. But if you don't know why you're doing it, how effective is it going to be at changing in you if you have no idea what it's supposed to change?
Is that understanding
of well, it's the combination. Right, it's both. It's not one or the other. That's his point. Is that if halacha, or he makes a very simple point, if halacha is meant to change us, not God, and we don't always understand the halacha, Agadata provides the why, right? The background. What is it trying to do? Whether it's metaphysical, right? What is it trying to teach us about a God, right? Certain mitzvot obviously are at their core about teaching metaphysics, like, I don't know, Shema. Right? The fact that we're obligated twice a day to make a theological statement about God's unity, right, points to the importance of metaphysics. Whereas, I don't know, the mitzvah of tzedaka points to an ethical system. Paraduma, I don't know. You know, the chukim are an interesting question. Part of it is obedience, right, which is also part of it. But he says, that being the case, the Agadah, he says, right now, if you want to look at the Hebrew, he says, Agadah hi hamusariyut atzma. So Agadah is the ethics itself. Right? Meaning Agadah, broadly speaking, is what provides the explanation for why it is that we're doing what we're doing. The second you put it that simply, right, you realize that Agadah is going to be far-reaching, but it's also it might be a different discipline, but it clearly is, at some level, synthesized into the discipline of halacha. So you turn to the next page, and he says, "U'mitzvah gdola chashuva hi lahavlit ed agada." Therefore, it is a great mitzvah to emphasize the ethical ideas that come out of the Agadah and the Halakha. Something that is blurry. I hate our printer with a deep passion. That's not in the text, that's just me. Go to my translation because I can figure out what I wrote here. Agadic statements and critiques are not what they've seen him at first glance. So too, they did this with halacha. For when they heard, when they made the halacha, they stamped it with the Haggadah, ethics and common decency. There are some laws that are entirely ethics and common decency, right? He says, beyond that, it's not just that Haggadah provides the background. It's certain things that we call halacha are not, when you think about it, what the average person in the street calls law. Right? There are halachic discussions that make it from the Gemara, Rambam, Shulchan Aruch, about how you drink at a meal. Do you guzzle it down in one gulp, in two gulps, in three gulps? What? Is it what the average person on the street thinks of as law? What? What? Sure, but there's no... Okay, fine. Okay, fine. But there are no consequences to this. It's an unenforceable law. There's no punishment. Sure, if that's what you think is going to happen. The point is, so, I don't know, is it? Well, is this a commandment? What commandment is it?
I'm just going on the example that...
Yeah, but what exact... But in that, well, what a commandment is it? What mitzvah is it?
I don't know specifically.
And the Gemara never says, right? But it's not hypothetical. That's my point. Or that's his point. His point is that it's not just that Agadah is essential for halacha. It's that if I switch the word law to the word normative, what does normative mean? What? No, not normal. What you should be doing, right? Is halacha law or is it norms? What? Meaning it's hard to define halacha as just what we would count as law, because the Torah is a system that tells you how to live your life. Does it matter? Right, certain things are about what you do. Certain things are punishable. Certain of them are not. Certain of them are what you believe. Now you could call it all law if you want, right? But the point is that halacha is more expansive. Or halacha and Torah more generally is more expansive than what in English we generally refer to as law. So, for example, if you're in America, okay, there are things that you would do that are not illegal that everyone would agree you shouldn't do. Okay? Right? It's not illegal for you to make fun of your little sister. It's not nice. It's not illegal. Right? You're not going to be imprisoned for it. Right? There's no law against it at all. But in America, it's very clear that incitement or saying something that will incite violence is illegal. Right? Making fun of your sister is not nice. You shouldn't do either. In halacha, or definitely Torah, both of those are included. Which means, very simply, even though, right, making fun of your sister is not enforceable in human court. Right? There's nothing you can, right? It's not. The point is that halacha, or Torah, which may be better to translate here, the system of Torah, more holistically, does not only consist of that which we would classically determine as law. Right? It is a broader system of norms. Some things which are enforceable by court and therefore normally considered law. And then there are other things like, yes, God, there may be consequences for God. But if you ask someone in America, if you ask a believing Christian in America, right, what will happen if you always make fun of your sister? They might say that God will smite you down. They still wouldn't call it law, right? Because Christianity downplays the idea of law, right? Yeah, but they move against law, right? They're like, Judaism, the Old Testament is law,
well,
right?
I think the only thing that constitutes a law is if there's an authority that is enforcing it. So the only reason why there's a distinction between, in America, you wouldn't be punished for insulting someone by law is because America's moral system is based on what harms someone in a tangible way.
Sure.
So here's the basis for that claim, then you wouldn't punished, but God's system is based on God's ideals, not on our sense of
ethics. That's fine. I'll buy that. But my point is simply that if that's the case, right, then law becomes much more expansive than human law. And that means that it's going to include categories, right? Like, are ethics part of law? Well, in secular law, maybe not, right? Whereas in God's law, it is normative, right? You want to call it law? If you want to call everything law, I don't care if you want to call everything law. I have no problem, right? The point is that my point is simply this, that part of the reason that it's hard to distinguish between halacha and agadah is because Torah isn't a legal system in the way we think of it in America. It's a system of how to live your life, which is much more expansive. And the second you say that not only do you have to do certain things, but you have to believe certain things, you have to be a certain type of a person, then a lot of things that in a secular system are not considered law are under the rubric of Torah, which means that if Agadah tells you how to be a better person, right, or believe certain things, then how far is it from halacha, right? I mean, that's my point. Now,
isn't that relevant? Like in North Korea, you can only get one of 20 haircuts. So you have to choose to be
100%. My point is simply this, right? I think we're actually saying the same thing. My point is simply that because Torah is more expansive than maybe what we're used to of thinking law, right, then it's harder and maybe impossible to fully distinguish between halacha and agadah, because if agadah is teaching you what you should believe or what type of person you should be, and that has normative weight, meaning God cares, okay, and will enforce it, then how easy is it to distinguish between halacha and agadah?
It's difficult from a Eurocentric perspective.
It's different from a fundamental perspective.
Well, if you're socialized in a communist country where the most minuscule aspects of daily life are controlled by a higher authority, then all of the law wouldn't seem so dissimilar from American.
I don't think that's true. Right? I don't think that's true. Meaning, I think you would be. Even in the most, barring the most dystopian Orwellian imagination of something that literally reads your mind, right? Even the most totalitarian of states usually doesn't care, for example, precisely what you eat, precisely, I don't know, whether you walk left or right first. I don't know, right? I don't know. Maybe it could, right? It could say that every time you, circle, you should start by going to the right, which halacha has things to say about. Right? This is not a Eurocentric thing. I've had my fair travels outside of the European model.
It's centered on libertarian ideals.
No.
No,
it's not. No, I don't think that's true. Look, I'll give you a different example, okay? Let's say, let's go to halacha for a second, okay? We'll take an example from halacha. In halacha, do you have to take the arba minim?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So now, if I asked you, according to Torah, should you choose a profession that will maximize your avodat Hashem?
Probably.
Okay, good. That is a true statement halachically. Okay? Or Torah-y. I don't know. Okay, we'll leave halacha for the second. What profession is that? Is there a single right answer? Is there a single right answer? Is it enforceable? Even in principle?
The principle is enforceable.
The principle is enforceable, but the expression isn't.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. So is that properly called law?
Yes.
No, it's not.
It's not. The principle that one should pursue
Okay, but if there is no course of action specifically that can be mandated, right? Meaning if there are two equal paths that you could take that would both maximize it, right? I could see myself, right? I'm cut out to be a doctor, right? But I could, you know, in terms of the hours it would give me in my life, in terms of the benefit I could, you know, have for other people, it will be basically equivalent if I become a rheumatologist or a, I don't know, or a endocrinologist. I don't know, right? If I make the decision based on one of those, based on my proclivity, I like this better, right? But everything else is equal, right? In terms of how much time it'll leave me to learn and be with my family and more or less how much money I'll make, I'll be able to give to tzedakah, and how many people I'll get to help and blah, 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 right? The principle is a normative principle, right? But that's not enforceable, even in principle, because that's not law in the same way that taking the Araminim is, right? Now you'll tell me, that's not about Eurocentrism, that's not about anything, it's not libertarian, it's not anything. It's simply recognizing that there is a category of things where you are guided by principles, right? But the specific action you have is not reducible to law, I would say, not just classically understood, but law at all, right? That type of decision, it is value laden, and therefore the way you make your decision has normative components to it. But it's not law.
Yeah, I'd say the same for the force cases, that the principle is that you should acquire the force cases, but there's variation of experience by them and which.
So parts of it, yes, parts of it, no. Right? Like the taking the etrog and not a lemon is law.
Yeah.
Right? Whether I getting a beautiful etrog is part of the law. It's not the obligatory part of the law, but it's the supererogatory part of the law. But whether I like a bumpy etrog or a smooth etrog and I find it more beautiful, as they say in Hebrew, al tam varech ein litzakeach. Right? Right? So, right, if I say to you, you should, look, this is codified in halacha. Right? Codified in halacha is that you should have the best, you should get good wine for the Seder. Okay? And all things being equal, red wine is considered better than white wine. That is codified in halacha, all things being equal. Okay? Halacha has zero to say about whether a Cabernet or a Merlot or a Cabernet Merlot blend or a Shiraz is the better red wine. And if you are a wine connoisseur and have a deep preference for, I don't know, a 40% Merlot, 30% Sauvignon Franc. Cabernet Franc. I don't know, right? Halacha has nothing to say about that. Nothing. There are, even in the most, right, rigorous understanding of halacha, recognizing that it goes far beyond, there are things which are not law, right? So my point is simply that halacha is clearly not all in law, and halacha is clearly not all inclusive, even in Torah, but you are also correct that where law ends is much blurrier in halacha because a lot more things get normative value. But that's my point, is that we start off by saying Agadah is non-halacha. But that is blurred by the fact that really, you're not chayav to follow halacha, you're chayav to follow the Torah, which is more expansive than just what we might conceive of as law. Right? Right? Or to put it differently, the Rambam in Perek Mishnah in the first parak of Avot says there are five categories in life. Okay? What are the five categories of actions? Anyone remember this Mishnah? There's Asur, Chiyuv, right? Right, forbidden, right? And no, he has five categories. And then there's neutral, and then there's Mishubach and Meguneh, right? Which is praiseworthy but not technically obligatory. And detestable, but not technically forbidden. Now, you'll tell me, no, there is no such distinction. There is. There are things that the Torah looks down on, but is not law, right? But the line is very narrow, because clearly, if I asked you, are you obligated to do that? The answer would be no. Should you do that? The answer would be yes. I don't know. I mean, yes, or maybe, I don't know, right? Meaning, well, look, if you imagine in Shemayim God is sitting there with a checkbox, I don't know how many points you get for doing the chiyuv and not the mishubach. I have no idea. If you assume that God at some point, you know, when you die, judges you holistically, like, did you live your life properly? Clearly, if someone never does the mishubach things, that's bad. Right? But it's still important to maintain the distinction, right? It's important to maintain the distinction, right? So let's say, right, it's Yud-Dalet Nisan, okay? You're in Yerushalayim, right? And I don't know, the kids are, you know, screaming in your house, right? But at that moment, you have to go out and you have to shech the Karban Pesach, okay? That's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah overet. You have to do it now, right? The halacha is go bring the Karban Pesach, okay? Same scene, right? But you, I don't know, are supposed to be involved in a fundraiser for a worthy cause, okay? Now you give your tzedakah, maybe you'll give the donation now, but like being involved right now at this moment, right? Maybe someone else can do it. At that moment, right? Clearly tzedakah is a mitzvah, but going right now, right? It's not a mitzvah overet. Right? It's not a mitzvah that's going to pass. So at that moment, what's the right thing? To stay home with the screaming kids and, you know, so that your wife doesn't go crazy, the kids don't beat each other, right? Whatever, right? Or to go to the event, right? There's a distinction. You understand there's a mitzvah component, right? But even that, stuck as a formal mitzvah, but it's not a mitzvah overet, right? Meaning, just because something is normative and God will punish you doesn't make it the same, right? Laws are different. There's mitzvot, there's non-mitzvot. There are mitzvot that are overet and mitzvot non-overet, right? Law, and I buy your distinction 100%. I admit, we shouldn't think of halacha as American law, and anything that wouldn't fit American law is non-halacha. I agree with that. But that doesn't mean that everything is reducible to law. It's not. What it does mean, as Rabbi Price notes, is it's very hard to firmly say that halacha and hakadah are different disciplines, because really what we're saying is that the Torah is a system that tells you how to live your life. And how you should live your life is a combination of law, what we would call law, what we would call ethics, and what we would call civility, right? And halacha includes all of it. So sometimes you'll have, he gives an example, right, that the Gemara spends a whole halachic discussion about when you are watching money for someone else, how should you put it, right? And the Gemara says, well, you shouldn't have money dragging behind you because someone might steal it. It should always be in front of you. And from there, the Gemara learns practical advice that this is how you should store money. Now, where does the good advice and the laws of Shomrim start and end? It's very hard to tell, right? It's giving you basic advice, right? Don't keep your wallet in your back pocket, because that's where pickpockets will get it. This is true, right? Keep it in, you know, your front pocket or something. It's harder for pickpockets to get to it. And if you're watching someone else's money, you are considered liable for being negligent if you keep the other person's money, right, in your back pocket, essentially, right? So where does halacha start and end, and where does good advice start and end? Hard to tell, right? Because, right, by telling you what it would be to good shomer, the Gemara also takes the advantage to tell you, here's good advice, right? The point is that it's blurry, right? Right, it's blurry, and that's part of the reason that even though it is helpful at some level to say halacha and agadah are different, it's not that helpful. Because the Torah is a more integrated system than what we are used to in our Eurocentric model, if that's how you like it. It was fine. I understood what you meant. What? No, I understood. I understood what you meant. Meaning, but yes, you are right that when you go to Bahrain, right, or you go to Dubai, right, what counts as law, right, is very different, right? That's true. In a religious society, what counts as law is very different. You are 100% right. You don't have to go to North, right? You don't have to go, right? It's less helpful to go to North Korea and much more helpful to talk about religious states, yeah, right? Because For sure, 100%. My point is simply that you're right, but that's part of, because halacha is a more holistic system, that's why the line between halacha and agadah, you should expect, is blurrier. Right? And that's why it's more important to, on the one hand, yes, it's helpful to understand there is a difference, But to realize that difference shouldn't be expected to be that sharp, as evidenced by the fact that at least in one of these Gemara, the Gemara said, oh, these are different disciplines, but solved it by integrating them. Which should highlight to you the fact that, yeah, that's the point. Because halacha is, again, do you want to call it halacha? You want to call it Torah? I don't care what you want to call it. The Torah's entire system is more synthesized than what we might, being brought up where we were brought up, consider law. Do you want to call it halacha, or you want to call it what you should do with the Rambam's broader, you know, system of chiyuv, iser, meshubach, megunet? Not the point here. The point for our purpose is simply that you should expect them to be synthesized. I will give you I just want to make one more point, and then we'll end for today. I won't have time to read it inside. But Ray Price just makes the point, as he said, that you should expect halacha and agadah to be integrated. Some thinkers, and Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin is in the classical world is an example of this. The academic world, Jeffrey Rubenstein does this a lot, goes farther, and someone mentioned this before, that it's not just that you should expect halacha and agadah to be integrated, but you should expect that the agadot are related to the halachic passages in which they are found. So for example, Rav Tzadok argues that the reason that the agadot of the Churban are found in Masechet Gittin is because God's relationship between the Jewish people, as described in Yeshayahu, is described as a marriage, and therefore galut is described as potential divorce. And then the pasuk in Yeshayahu says, but you're coming back because I didn't divorce you because we're in a Catholic marriage. Right? There is no divorce. What? That's what God says in Yeshayahu, right? Which is, don't think that galut was a full divorce because, right? Where's your sefer kritut? Where's your get? I didn't give you a get. So this is separation, not divorce. And a good husband, I just said, we can't divorce. The point is that Rav Tzadok says that even the things that don't seem to be related, right, like the Churban Habayit Gemara, right, the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, why is that in Gittin? Because it points to the fact that, right, it's pointing to a metaphysical idea that God's relation to the Jewish people is, you know, compared to marriage, and therefore galut is compared to divorce. Sure, there's a lot of these, but the point is that it's not just that you should expect halacha and agadah to be integrated, but that you should expect even the things, right, the Dumb and Benatina Gemara that says, how should you do Kibbut Aveim, and brings a story in the middle of Kibbut Aveim, we understand the halacha and agadah are integrated. Tzadok's point is it could be something completely different, right? Churban Habayit has nothing directly to do with divorce, but you still should be sensitive to placement of agadot because they might be pointing to a much larger idea. We'll see. Hopefully see examples this year. We did one last year. Hopefully we'll see this year. Take it. Go.
Say that a key difference between law and like government law and halakha is actually the government law is like you run a society, and halakha is for your own personal life.
No, I would say like this. I'm oversimplifying things, but if you want a nice treatment of this, and I'll end with this, you can read Christine Hayes's "What's Divine About Divine Law," where she notes, I think compellingly, that the Greeks had a very sharp distinction between conventional law, right, and natural law. For the Greeks, natural law, I'm about to explain to you. According to the Greeks, natural law was equivalent to divine law, and what made it natural law and divine law was that it didn't need to be legislated. It was self-legislated. Anything that needed to be legislated was not natural, right? It was conventional. So society runs by conventional law. It needs to be legislated. And then there's natural law, which is not, right, which it doesn't need to be legislated. Right, and it is true whether or not someone legislates it. The Torah, as she points out, and Chazal emphasized this, walk away from that distinction. And they say, no, there are things that are divine that you wouldn't have known without God doing it, i.e. chukim, but they're divine because God said it, which means that the Torah, right, includes things that are conventional in the Greek sense, meaning without legislation you wouldn't know to keep them, but they're divine because God said them, which means that the problem is that American law, right, much of law in the West has been influenced by the very sharp distinction between natural law and conventional law as conceptualized by the Greeks because of the influence of Aristotle and Plato, especially Aristotle on politics for thousands of years, whereas Chazal specifically walk away from it. It's not about personal life, not personal life. It's that we have a completely different conception of law. So it's not just what you're saying, which is what Benjamin was getting at, right? That law in halacha, or even in a totalitarian state, is going to penetrate more into your life than it will in a Western country. It's more than that. It's that law is conceptualized differently. Okay? So it's much more than what you're saying. You're not wrong, but it's more than that. Sure, but there's a lot more to it. Okay, let's stop there. Shkoyach, guys.